Hi, I'm Martin Davidson, and I'm professor of leadership and organizational behavior at the Darden Graduate School of Business at the University of Virginia. I want to talk to you today about leveraging difference. It's diversity from another perspective. I've been doing research, teaching, consulting on diversity for over 25 years, and I came across a very interesting challenge about 10, 12 years ago. The challenge was simply this. I talked to a senior executive, senior white male executive, and we were doing some work at his company. The session was going really well. We were really making some progress, learning some things. And during a break, he asked me, "Can I ask you a question just very, very candidly?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You know, at our company, I know we have a ways to go, but we figured out ways in many ways to create more diversity, more different faces at the table. We've explored our hiring options. We sort of see different ways of sourcing people in different ways. And we're working on developing people and advancing people to the organization. I think we can do that." He said, "But once I get the people here, once they're sort of in here, so what? What am I supposed to do with that?" And I took that as a very interesting and challenging question, because what he was asking was, what difference does just having people who look different make? What's really underneath it? That's what led me and my colleagues to begin to think about leveraging difference, which is specifically how you use difference to create results. And the way that we've been unfolding this through our research, through our consulting, through our teaching, has been to essentially look at two different elements. First, to look at the contrast between traditional diversity and this new way of thinking about diversity, leveraging difference. And second, to think about how it is you actually leverage difference. Let's look at the first piece. The first piece, what's the difference between traditional diversity? Why do you need a leveraging difference? Well, in addition to the story that that gentleman laid out, there are a couple of pain points. For example, as organizations become more and more global, there's more and more dissatisfaction overseas and across borders that sort of says, diversity, the way you all think about it in the U.S., good for you, but that's not relevant here. If we go to Asia, we don't have sort of issues of black and white that have historical roots and legacies in slavery. That's not our story here. So I don't see how it really connects. That particular challenge is emerging in so many different areas, so many different arenas, so many different countries. Traditional diversity, very U.S.-centric. Leveraging difference, much more global. Leveraging difference looks at and allows for the notion that every country, every culture will have its diversity story. It may be ethnicity. It may be gender. It may be certain regions where people come from. It may be caste or class. But it's different and unique for that particular country. Traditional diversity, U.S. focus. Leveraging difference, global. What else is different? Think about who actually executes on diversity. In so many different organizations, it's somewhere in the human resources group. It really is about diversity and thinking about talent. It is thinking about hiring people, getting people at the table. It is really thinking about sort of how it is that we develop and support those people. That's all excellent and very important work. Leveraging difference enhances and adds to that. What it says is that difference and diversity matters not just in human resources, but across the entire enterprise. It's relevant for innovation. It's relevant for R&D. It's relevant for mergers and acquisitions. It's relevant for the ways in which boundaries and differences come up and have to be negotiated for any organization to run well. Traditional diversity, HR focus. Leveraging difference, much more strategically focused, much more about business strategy. A third difference, the scope of the differences that matter. In traditional diversity, and a little of this is a function of the U.S. focus, the differences that matter tend to be race, gender, sexual orientation, disability. These are all critically important differences that shape exactly what our workforce is about. But in leveraging difference, again, we build on those. While those differences can be critical, other differences matter as well, sometimes even more. For example, In a leveraging difference world, differences in attitude, aptitude, experience count. Differences in problem solving and the way we focus on those count. Obviously, differences in country and culture count. Differences in ways of thinking and ways of operating count. Differences in function and where we're located inside the organization. All of these are part of the diversity story. And it becomes the important element of strategy, of what is the business strategy that tells us where we start and where we put our resources and focus on. Traditional diversity, narrow set of differences. Leveraging difference, broader set of differences. Finally, the thing that differentiates the two, traditional diversity really has been and continues to be a useful way of generating and driving some change in representation and driving some change in the culture. But what it also tends to breed is a heavy amount of resistance, particularly from people in the majority or the dominant group. So, for example, straight white men in the United States oftentimes push back and have trouble and struggle with traditional diversity programs, even if they're executed well. Leveraging difference has the opportunity and the possibility of being more inclusive. You can get some of the same gains in terms of representation, in terms of bringing about the kinds of difference that you need. But because it tends to be a much more inclusive approach, it actually lowers resistance and ultimately creates longer-term change. Against the backdrop of these two differences between traditional diversity and leveraging difference, the key question is going to become, how do you get there? How do you move from a purely traditional diversity approach to one that's leveraging difference, that builds on that? Basically, there are four steps. First, the capacity to see difference. Strategically, you have to look and see, what is it we're trying to do? What differences matter the most for what we're trying to do? That's step number one. That's a conversation, by the way. It's a deep conversation. It's a powerful conversation. It's a conversation about what we're going to do, and it's also a conversation about what we'll stop doing. It's really, really very important. The second step is understand difference. So once we've established and seen the differences are important, once we've identified them, how do we learn about them? That's what understanding difference is all about. What does it mean to be a person of color in an organization? What does it mean to be a woman in this particular organization, this particular culture? What does it mean to be a person with an educational background that's much more high school-based? What does it mean to be someone who's from a different country? These kinds of pieces are part of what it means to understand what the difference is and how that difference manifests in your organization. The third step is action. It's engaging difference. That's the place where we start to figure out how to create results from difference. You do different kinds of experiments, essentially. You try things out. How is it that we create and constitute a more diverse team to see how they perform? How is it that we learn about different markets and different customer bases so that we expand and grow into different segments? How is it that we try out new innovations to sort of see what works and what doesn't work? This is the land of the third step, engaging difference. Once you go to seeing difference, understanding, and engaging difference, and you begin to do that with repetition, now you're becoming a leveraging difference organization. And that's the real ultimate goal here. It's not an initiative. It's not a program. It's a way of operating. Becoming a leveraging difference organization means it becomes diversity and difference become part of the DNA. It becomes part of how you do whatever it is you do. It becomes the kind of issues and questions that come up. We always ask, how is difference going to be relevant in this situation? In many ways, it's not unlike how people think about when companies are very embedded in the Six Sigma program or a quality improvement program. Everything begins to thread through that way of thinking. And the same can be true with difference and diversity. If you're able to do that, then part of what you get is a sustained way of making diversity relevant in the organization. Diversity sticks. And that ultimately is what's really, really important. The days of having diversity initiatives that fall by the wayside and companies having to As they tell me when they call me sometime for consultation, reboot our diversity efforts. Those days have to pass if we're going to be competitive in a global marketplace. We've got to get smart at diversity. Finally, the thing that that for me shapes my interest and passion in this work really comes down to a statement that I heard Lonnie Guinier make when she was giving a talk. Lonnie Guinier is a legal scholar, brilliant woman, who was giving a talk and said at one point, "Take from the margin to rethink the whole." Take from the margin to rethink the whole. What that means for me is that we're paying attention to difference. We're using difference. We're looking at the people who are different because we want to make the overall organization, the overall community, the overall society better. So what it says is that our teachers, the people who are going to be critically important, are the ones who are different, the unusual, the marginal. And if we can learn, if we can teach ourselves, if we can build skills in listening and learning from those who are different, incorporating and including those who are different, then the entire system becomes better. Think of it this way. In the United States, sidewalk ramps, curb cuts, they came about largely by 1990 as a result of the Americans with Disabilities Act. They were designed so that people would have access when they were in wheelchairs or otherwise not able to move as well. If you fast forward to today and ask the question, who is it that uses sidewalk ramps more than anyone else? Well, it's people with strollers. It's skateboarders. It's bicyclists. It's people like me who sometimes, find it a little bit easier to walk up that ramp than have to lift my foot up on a curb. An accommodation that was made for a marginal group of people actually turns out to be a real advantage and benefit for everyone. Think of it this way. How prevalent was rollerboard luggage before the advent of sidewalk ramps? An accommodation that was made for a marginal group of people helped to even create the innovation for a new product line, a new way of use of luggage, of building and constructing and manufacturing luggage. This is the promise for difference and diversity, and this is why it's so important for us to get it right. I'd love to engage with you and talk with you more about diversity and difference. Looking for more information, more work on this, please get my book, The End of Diversity as We Know It. It's published by Barrett Kohler, and it goes into much more depth on some of these concepts. Thanks so much for your attention. I hope this was useful.